Okay, so turn to that glorious passage in John chapter 14, verse 1 to 21. I want to look at this passage with you. Now, excuses if my voice is a bit rough today, but hopefully we'll get through. Give me a hand signal if you're not hearing me or anything like that, just let me know. As we come to this passage today, it's kind of got the sense of love and longing for love. And when I read it, it reminded me of an old couple in Scotland who, when Yaz and I were first married, Ken and Han in Inverness used to take us out for a Sunday meal or during the week so often. Their hospitality was constant. They were a lovely, lovely couple. And they would regale us with stories of their life. He was a sea captain during the Second World War. He was captured by one of the famous German pocket battleships. So he was imprisoned for a lot of the war. And they would also tell us about their life and their marriage. And it was an unusual marriage because he was a seaman. He was away for maybe 8 months of the year at one time. And so Han, in many ways, she had to bring the children up herself because her husband was hardly around. Yet when he would come into port, maybe down in England, she would drive hours and hours through twisted roads and whatnot without a thought in the world about it because she was longing to see her husband. And he would be home for a few months and then he'd be off again. And that was the pattern of their entire marriage. That's the way it went. How would you cope if your marriage was like that? Huge gaps of 8 months at a time. Essentially, for the mums here, you'd be like a single mother bringing your kids up. But you would know there was somebody out there that you truly loved and you would long to see them again. That longing for unrequited love fills the songs of our culture. It fills them time and time again. And as we celebrate Advent, what are we really celebrating? But the same thing, of a love that we long for. We are in a waiting zone. As we wait in Advent for the approach of Christmas, it reminds us of the Old Testament saints waiting for the promised Messiah. But more, it also now actively cultivates a longing, not for the first coming of Christ, but the second coming. Christ is coming back, yes? And we may forget that so often, yes? Your lives are so busy. You get stressed out with everything. And you can easily forget that the Christ who came and loved us is coming back again. And so what you have in John chapter 13 all the way through to John chapter 17 is Jesus preparing his bride for his departure. And that he goes to great lengths to help her to cope with his absence because he's going to be away for a long time. And questions could come during such a prolonged absence into the heart of the one who's loved. Does he still love me? Is he coming back? What is he thinking about? What's he doing? What's he doing right now? If any of you have been involved in a long-distance romance like I have, these are the kinds of questions that can flood your mind. And so, as we listen to Jesus in these chapters from John 13 through 17, let's see how Jesus thinks about us now, right now. Last week, we asked the question, is he like that little boy stretches out his finger and wants to touch the slug and goes, yuck, as soon as he touches it. Is that how he thinks about you? No. John is giving us this catalogue of preparation from Jesus just as he was about to leave his disciples. And he is showing us, no, instead what you have is the greatest source of love this world will ever know. You will hear echoes of that love in all the love songs that we write in our culture. But we're talking about their origin, their divine root, their source, the source of all love. That's what you're celebrating in Advent, what you're reminding yourselves of. You're going to see here that there's a completeness about love. You'll see that love nurtures those that it loves. And you'll see it will always be in the business of communicating to us those three truths. Think first of all of love, how it completes us, as you see in these words. There's a real emotional cost to loving across the distances. Dire Straits, going to be my first song choice for this morning. They sung about that deep sense that we have of incompleteness in our lives when the person we love is far away from us. They sung, here I am again in this mean old town, and you're so far away from me. And where are you when the sun goes down? You're so far away from me. You're so far away from me. So far, I just can't see. You're so far away from me. A new song for most of the kids, rather well known to those of you from the 1980s. You remember it well. And it's that sense of deep down sensing our incompleteness. It's the one that we love is a million miles away from us. So when you come to chapter 14, our reading today, and you read, for example, in verse 3, what do you have Jesus say? He says, if I go, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I will come back. And I will take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You see, the love he had for his disciples, the love he has for you today, the love he had for them on earth when he was with them, is the love that will bring him back to this earth. That's what he's saying. I will come back, and I will take you to be with me. There's no kind of greater declaration of love than that, is there? Reminds me of that scene from the movie The Last Mohicans, where the hero has been separated from the woman he's just falling in love with, and they're going to have to separate because they're being chased down by a party of Hurons. And the only way they're going to escape is if the women in the party are separate from the warriors. So the warriors go. And at one moment in it, he shouts at her in the face because of the sound of a mighty waterfall behind them. I will find you. I will find you. See, that's what love says to you. I will find you. There's days you're going to feel lost. You're going to wonder, where is he? I will find you. I will come again. In many cultures of the wedding days, the man comes to the bride's house. He comes. He seeks her out because it's the nature of love to seek out, to move towards, to search for. And it's like Jesus is saying here, the truth is, I can't live without you. Nothing will ever part us again. There is nothing lacking in Jesus to say that I can't live without you. But you see, it's the very nature of divine love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit love, to be always giving to another. And his love is the greatest love in the universe, the longest running love in the universe, the epicenter of all the love that exists in the universe. And this is its nature. I will come, I will find, I will draw you to myself. It's all about this picture of completeness in the work that Jesus has come through the first Christmas to do in our lives. And so he says later on, in verse 19, as surely as I live, you will live also. You have my word on it, he's saying. You're going to be completed one day by my love. Later on in chapter 16, in verse 16, Jesus went on to say, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while, you will see me. Probably referring to his second coming. He says, I'm going to be away for a while. I'm going to be away like that sea captain on the boat for quite some time. And you might be bombarded with questions. That's why I'm taking so long to speak to you right now. And that's why you got these 3-4 chapters together in John's Gospel. But it's necessary, but it won't last. This gap, this separation will not last a moment longer than necessary. After a little while, you will see me. Until every room is prepared for every saint, then the end will come. And when Jesus is talking about preparing us for heaven, remember, the preparation is really down here on earth, in your character, how he molds you and crafts you, particularly through pain and trial, to prepare you, to augment your capacity to enjoy everything that he'll have fully prepared for you in eternity. And so back to chapter 14, verse 3, he's saying, I'm going to come and I'm going to take you to be with me. I'm going to take you to be with me. What do you learn there from Jesus' love for you today? That love doesn't leave a job half completed, half done. There is a completion in Christ's love. Parents, you know it. Your worries for your kids go from when they're very young to when they have a scraped knee, when they fall outside chasing the chickens or whatever they're doing, to when they grow up and then they start dating and they're going to marry someone, and then your worries for them, they don't get less, they get more, don't they? Because now you've really got something to be concerned about. Are they going to make the right choices? You never stop loving them. That would be an incomplete love. So why would you think the purest source of love in the universe would love you any less than you love people around you? Jesus is not in the business of unfinished tasks, incomplete jobs. He's not like a husband with a DIY list that never quite completes everything on that list. Who said amen to that? There's a story to hear. But the point is that what we or where we fail, he doesn't. But how often do you think in terms of him failing? Usually when you've failed him in some way, you've sinned, you've got it wrong, and so you question the one who's a million miles away. Does he really still love me? Paul talks about it. He says, he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion. Philippians 1:6, great verse to remember. He who has begun a good work will bring it to completion. What you've got to do is let this certainty mold you, fuel the way that you love people here on earth. There's this complete source of love in Christ. It completes you and will enable you to love other people. It's like when you try during the hurricane season, we're desperately driving around Tampa trying to find that gas station that's still selling gas. And when you find it, you're chuffed. You're delighted. What you have in Christ is this ever-ending gas station of love. It's a completeness. Now, do you believe that? Because maybe your anxieties and your fears would seem to dictate that you're afraid the gas will one day run dry. But no, His love is what can fuel your love. When it's hard to love one another, when it's hard to love your parents, when it's hard to love your spouses, when it's hard to love your church members, when it's hard to love your neighbors, when it's hard to love those in need, the call is still there to love. Where do you get the gas from? When you are assured in your heart about the completeness, the totality of Christ's love for you. So you get that picture of completeness here, and then it allows you to just sense, hopefully, that love in its nature nurtures you. Because of the gap between lovers when they're separated, it's easy to have doubts, easy to feel neglected. Second song choice for today, Van Morrison. And he sang about that. He said, I miss you so much I can't stand it. Seems like my heart is breaking in two. The head says no, but my soul demands it. Everything I do reminds me of you. I miss you so much in this house full of shadows, while the rain keeps pouring down my window too. When will the pain recede to the darkness from whence it has come, and I'm feeling so blue? Jesus was so aware that his followers on this day, John chapter 14 day, 2,000 years ago, would feel the blues, would be singing the blues that next day when he would be crucified. He's so aware that you and I will have days when we feel that we're living in a house full of shadows while the rain keeps pouring down my window too, when the pain recedes to the darkness, when we're longing for the pain to recede to the darkness, that he spoke these words of nurture that you have in verse 18. And he says, I will not leave you. Well, he would leave them, but he would not leave them as orphans. I will come to you. So even before he returns fully in the second coming, he's saying, but there's a temporary coming, if you like, a different kind of coming through one who will care for you when you feel you're like an orphan living in a house full of shadows. And he's telling us all about what is in his heart today when he's absent from us, that he wants to nurture us, to have someone who will look after us. Sometimes you hear from stories of war, two guys that'll be fighting, they say, look, if I die, will you please go back home when you get back home? Will you please look after my family? Will you please look after my mother, my parents? Would you please look after my wife, my children? And there's only one person that Jesus Christ would trust you to in his absence. And that is the Holy Spirit. No one less than God. Because the task is so great, His love is so deep, your needs are so many, that only if God Himself, through His Spirit, comes and dwells with you in your home, that is, in your heart, will you be able to be nurtured and kept safe. Only one, the one who He has known from ever, who has been the bond of love between the Father and God the Son forever, that Jesus now says, no one less than Him is sufficient. Only He is sufficient. And that's who comes. That's the need. You feel like an orphan sometimes, don't you? You feel like it's days of rain and houses full of shadows. And this is the pledge to you today. The Comforter has been given to you. In fact, he even says, Jesus says, it is better for you that I do go away, so that this Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will come to you. If I stay with you, Jesus of Nazareth, I'll be limited to one place and time, one space, one moment. But if I go to heaven and send the Holy Spirit, He will be able to be in every place, in every space, in every time, in every moment, in every heart of every child of God forever. And that is the pledge of His love that He gave to us. That's what you do when you love, don't you? You give pledges. You take something like a wedding ring and you pledge your love. You give it as a token. You take a moment like in another movie, Braveheart, Mel Gibson, where he comes back to the village that he was brought up in. And when he had been at a funeral years before, a little girl had given him a thistle. And then he obviously kept it and he pressed it, flattened it. And when he comes back and he meets this girl grown up who he's still in love with, and he gives her that thistle back, a pledge, a token, that all the time that they were apart, that he actually loved her. You have a lot more than a pressed flower this morning. You have more even than a book with pages of messages of love for you. You have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Where is He? Where is He? He's in your heart. If you are a follower of Christ, you are no longer an orphan. Maybe you're here today, you're not a Christian. I hope this is beginning to evoke a deep longing in you for the truest, deepest experience of love that you'll never find in another human being, because your heart was made for even greater love than the love of another human being. You have to go to the source of all love. And so Jesus says, I will send you the Holy Spirit. And in chapter 16, he unpacks a little bit about that. He says, like this friend who cares for a soldier's family without ever being asked to, the Spirit will come and He will speak of nothing about Himself, but whatever I tell Him. That's in chapter 16 and verse 7. In verse 13 of that chapter, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. For the Spirit is the only one who has a permanent connection to Jesus Christ and who can therefore communicate instantly to us all that Christ is thinking right now about us. And He can speak to you And that's something we all really need. Why? Because love, by its nature, will communicate. Next song choice. A father wrote this song when his four-year-old son was playing in the house and fell out of a window 53 levels up. And Eric Clapton wrote these words, "Tears in Heaven." And they expressed this deep longing to communicate again. He says, "Would you know my name if I saw you in heaven? Would it be the same if I saw you in heaven? I must be strong and carry on, because I know I don't belong here in heaven." You see, you need love to communicate. You need to know that you can communicate. In a relationship, husband, wife, when things get distant or cold, it aches you, does it not? Your ability to communicate has been dampened. That is not the case between you and Christ. It never needs to remain that case permanently. Instead, as we said, with the Holy Spirit, he is this pledge to us. He's this point of contact. He can instantly tell us what Christ is thinking about. That means that in an instant, he can impress upon your mind the love that Christ presently has for you and speak peace to you, even in your very darkest hours. Often, this will happen when the Holy Spirit just brings one particular verse to your mind. Just one. On a bad day, don't worry about not being able to read the whole Bible. You don't need the whole Bible. You just maybe need one little verse and stick to it like a limpet on a rock. It's just that little verse that hits the spot. It's like a piece of candy that you just keep sucking on it for hours. You could let it sit under your tongue because it'll stay there for hours as you slowly suck on all the goodness. He can do that with so many verses in the Bible. You go back to chapter 14 and you could find amazing verses there about this love that could sustain you. Look at verse 20. "On that day you'll realize that I am in my Father, you are in me, I am in you." Holy Spirit, will you make this as clear as possible to someone today, right now? That they're in a marriage relationship, there's a marriage knot here between you, between them and Christ, and it cannot be broken. It could not be broken any more than the relationship between Christ and the Father could be broken. That's the security of the love that he has for you today. Preach to your own insecurities. Every one of you has to be a preacher. Every one of you must preach daily to your own hearts. Preach against your fears, your anxieties, by using these words. Let the Holy Spirit minister through the truth of this word time and again to speak peace to your own fears. You will never survive on sermons alone once a week from a pulpit. You must preach to your own heart every single day and let the Spirit of Christ be the force in that sermon. You see, the Spirit acts like a secretary for Christ. He's carrying these answers to us from Christ. You send your prayers like emails to the Father, but they will all go through the server, Christ himself. He will do it. He wants you to know that your heart will be filled with certainty about his heart towards you. Christ's love has him praying for you even now. John 14 through chapter 16 really is the longest sermon of Christ, where he dwelt for the longest on this theme of preparing his followers for the gap. Because it was one of the deepest things for him his heart lay most in this area, wanting his followers not to doubt his love when he would be away from them. That's why you've got these amazing chapters here. And then after chapter 16, you've got John chapter 17, where he actually leaves them alone. And he goes off into the garden and he prays in private, but he prays in private exactly what he's just said to them in public. He takes all the teachings of these last chapters, 14 through 16, and then he turns them into prayer. That's what he was doing in private. When his back was turned, when he was absent from them, it reveals what was in his heart. It was exactly the same as when he faced them. You see, he is the same absent as when present. This whole prayer is a model of Christ's intercession. Now, in heaven, you're like overhearing a conversation. If you could overhear what was being said right now in heaven, you would hear your name. Your name on the day that you really struggled with life, when you maybe felt that God wasn't even there in that scene. But if you could hear the conversation, it would be your name, because that is the nature of Christ's love for you. And he will speak your name to the Father. And that's where our joy becomes complete, and his joy in us becomes complete. So, is his heart in heaven today the same as his heart was on earth 2,000 years ago? The answer is a resounding yes. Is it hard sometimes for us to grasp that love when we're in the waiting game? Yes. Let me conclude with the last quote from a song. Taylor Swift. I told myself, don't get attached, but in my mind, I play it back, spinning faster than the plane that took you. And this is when the feeling sinks in. I don't want to miss you like this. Come back, be here, come back, be here. I guess you're in New York today. I don't want to need you this way. Come back, be here, come back, be here. You see the same themes of love flood our songs? The human heart was made for love. You'll never feel complete without it. But the best human love will never complete you. You were made for a divine love. You were made to know the love that came down at Christmas. You're made to know that that is God's great love song to you. And so we say to Jesus, come back, be here, come back, be here. Come, Lord Jesus Christ. Our hearts long for you. You're the only one who loved me to the point of dying for my redemption and my salvation. When he bled and hung on the cross, that's what he was doing. You must decide now to follow him because of that. And when you have made that decision, you keep following him, because his love for you today is complete. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we don't have to question today what you're thinking about us, how you feel about us, whether you're still there for us. Your love is so different. It's so pure. It's so complete. It's so nurturing. Always knows how to communicate. Lord Jesus, would you communicate that love to somebody's heart afresh today for whatever reason? They may not feel it or sense it, but we pray that you would speak to them and that they would be deeply conscious of your love for them, that you are the same to us when you're absent as when you are present. Hear us, we pray, in your name.